What are we going to call this podcast exactly?
I think we should call it a Gavalavan Gavlaun.
That does not even sound remotely pronounceable.
But it's correct.
I want to call it Iro Iro.
Iro Iro? Why, my hero?
You know, Iro Iro, various.
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 That's right.
Various.
It's various.
It's various. It's various. It's so what was that little bit you said at the beginning?
A Gavalavan Gavlaun, which literally means the total bloodbath, which is my translation of the full catastrophe in the Welsh language, but no one else's. The scenarios portrayed or discussed in this podcast are entirely fictional. Repeat, entirely fictional.
Okay, so we've got three people here who are supposedly going to become clients. Now,
we're acting as a sort of image.
Yes, image consultants.
Manipulators,
yes,
kind of image thing. Consult- okay.
Okay, so we've got Mr. One. Now, Mr. One is a... He's come from overseas. He's just come out. And, you know, the record company says that his song will do very well. Now, the question that we have here is, if we really like this guy, and if this guy really could actually do the business on the sales, do you think that we can actually deal with the fact that he's going to be out? I mean,
is this an issue of drip, drip, drip? Because there's one thing coming out, which is of itself an act. The next act is showing yourself to be a rounded out gay person. Yeah. Then the next bit is, heaven forfend, a romantic interest or showing your gay friends, but also your straight friends as well, so no one's frightened. And then the ultimate, of course, the spread in Architectural Digest at home with dot, 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 dot. Is it a big bang or is it an incremental thing?
Exactly. Now, with Mr. One, who's a singer, okay? Now, Mr. One, we could reckon he could be very successful. But the question is he going to wind up being niche? Are we just going to put him on, you know, is he just going to be Mr. Do 500 dance mixes and then, you know, sell, you know, bottom out about maybe the 40, at 49th on the Arias?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because it actually is not just about Mr. One's sexuality. It's about Mr. One's ambition as a singer. They're not unrelated. And yeah, as you say, if all they become is some kind of diva, male diva, an Eartha Kitt of another age, well, that is perhaps creatively not great, but also perhaps personally not so great either. Yeah. It's about being comfortable, isn't it? And it's, how did he come out? Was he forced out? Did he one day go, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore? The risk, of course, is alienating fans, but it could be argued
if he is trying to imprint himself upon. Now, let's take Mr. 1A and Mr. 1B.
Okay.
So Mr. 1A is an established artist. He was popular here in Australia during a period of time when he actually had cutesy image. He just started. He was young, and now he's actually sort of the time has come around, and now he's gone back to his home country, which is not specified, and he's actually kind of built up a career there. But you know, there was, you know, he just gradually came out. It was sort of just like, you know, you find the established
so
star.
So he comes out here on tour again.
Yeah, he comes 10, out here
15 years after.
Yeah.
You know what I'd say to him, if you're asked in the interviews, just yeah. The rest of the time, it's as if you've never been away. I mean, what? Because the people are going to turn up to your concert if you've been well loved for that period of time are the same people. And I would also advise, as an image consultant, in replying to the gay question, be as matter of fact / boring as possible.
Now, why boring?
Boring meaning non-controversial.
Non-controversial.
It's just a matter of fact. Like,
okay.
I've got blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I've got brown hair. I am gay. And when I was last here, when I was a 21-year-old little rock and roller, whatever it was, you know, I was still growing up. Now, you know, and then you just go, but I'm really here to celebrate my music.
All right. Now, what about Mr. 1B? Now, Mr. 1B actually came through the celebrity house. Now, not so much celebrity. Let's scratch that. Actually, Mr. 1B actually came through the reality television market. He was actually really, really popular. And the whole, all overseas, they were actually following his story all the way through. And, you know, that he had this reality thing attached to him. So he's really close to him. But we don't know him down here in Australia. Should Mr. 1B actually be frank and honest? Will he be limited by his press opportunities?
If he's not really known down here, what are the great and the good of the media going to ask him about? What's the sexiest things about him? What's the hook that's going to get people in? It's not going to be US/Canadian/Icelandic reality TV star is a vegan or is a supporter of animal rights. It's is gay. That's going to get the better headline. And frankly, as image consultants, we'd say to Mr. 1B, hey, mate, if you're going to get on television, talking about veganism ain't going to get you on the David Campbell show, is it? It's not going to get you on with those scraggy newsreaders in the afternoon, is it?
Yeah.
You're going to actually have to talk about the gay thing. And actually, this could be somewhat controversial. You're going to have, I just said, be boring, be non-controversial. Actually go to the other extreme.
Really?
Because the compelling story is my struggle.
My struggle.
My struggle. Even if you haven't struggled, or your struggle was a struggle and then you got over it and you got better very quickly. Because out there, it's a jungle and you have to make your voice heard. And if you're over here, why are you over here? Flogging something, aren't you? It might be your first album, or the reality show has just been released on Channel 127. You've got to make people want to watch it. And how are you going to make them want to watch it? You've got to be compelling, haven't you?
My thought with Mr. 1B is definitely, without doubt, go to all the gay media that you can possibly do, but also make sure that you court all the other non-niche, I guess, media that you can as possible. Because when you go on there and on these morning zoo programs and or on the long drive programs, or even in the middle of the day, you can actually be more compelling by your just sheer sort of foreignness, because that might make you seem cooler.
Yeah.
Use the cultural cringe to your advantage.
Well, absolutely. Now, I believe the second one is the antithesis of a cultural cringe.
Oh, Mr. Two. Oh, this is Mr. Two. Mr. Two is an AFL player. He's from the country, so, you know, we know him. He's got a real background. He did not come through the father-son rule. So for our foreign listeners, just briefly explain the father-son rule.
It means if your dad and even your granddad played for a football club, they have first dibs on you in the draft. And it might sound, that's really odd, but there are whole dynasties of families with various Australian rules football clubs. Three generations of Watsons, for example, at a club called Essendon, which is somewhat in the news for other reasons at the moment. At my own club, we have three players under the father-son role. It's a way of perpetuating the idea of club as community, even though club equals business.
Now, Mr. Two has not come forward by telling us how he was caught, but we have been seen some him in a very compromising personal situation with an unnamed other male who was of legal age. So that bit has been taken care of. In fact, they actually are apparently only 2 years difference in age. Now, he is still keen to be a player, and he's actually considered at the prime of it. He also happens to have also announced his engagement to a prominent female. So, Mr. Two, how is Mr. Two going to damage? Is he? We know that we have the pictures. Should he even bother coming out, or will he just go this route of saying supportive?
Well, the crucial person here is probably not Mr. Two, but the potential Mrs. Two. He's engaged to someone who he has humiliated, possibly, certainly upset. So you need Mrs. Two, or perhaps Mrs. Two.
Fiance Two. It's an engagement.
Yeah.
There's engagement.
Anyway, to stand by his side, to stand by her man, like Tammy Wynette, and go, we actually, if you took it to the max, she perhaps even has to allude to certain sexual experimentation and fluidity, that they're young and they were caught in a situation, the pressure of celebrity, and that whatever happens, I'm Mr. Two's friend.
Now,
I'm not walking away from him.
Now, okay, I'm Mr. Two's friend. Now, yeah. That's very, very point.
I still love Mr.
Okay.
Two.
I still care.
I understand, but I have to love him in a different way. Now, this is manipulation to the max.
Yeah, okay.
Because the career's on the line here.
Yeah, the career's on. But then that begs the question. Now the AFL has recently inaugurated a whole openness towards it. Now, could Mr. Two potentially go say, I am a gay man and I play in this sport, and be accepted and get there, get in before the pictures become public?
He could, but he has complicated it by announcing his engagement.
Okay.
Which suggests he has knowingly engaged in a deception.
Okay.
I think in the AFL, it will be far more easy for a player who is not connected with a wag or whoever on a red carpet at a casino or wherever to come out. But he's complicated it for everybody. And what he's done is the coming out lacks authenticity. Now, there are plenty of people who've been engaged, who've been married and all the rest of it. However, the fact that we say he's been recently engaged makes the deception look even more deceptive.
But could Mr. Two potentially say, hey, I really got along well with fiance Two, if they say, but this was forced upon me because others made me do this. All I want to do is play footy.
So we've been brought in after the event. So actually we're now crisis managing. Well, in that case, if he has been pressured, say, mate, go out, have a girlfriend. That makes it even more imperative that you try and keep the girlfriend on side.
Could he call bullshit, though, on this whole situation? Or is that too much to ask? Is that too much to ask? I mean, really, at the core, we have a guy that was just brought in because he can kick and run well with the ball.
Take a grab. Oh, look, his age is an issue. How old is he?
He is 25.
25. That makes it more difficult. Cut from the country, bright lights, slightly immature. 22, 23 might work, 25 less so. I would advise you either have to have fiance Two standing by her man, or nowhere to be seen, and him going for almost a painful disclosure. Don't let it dribble out. Actually go, I now realise for so many years in my life, I've not only been living a lie, I have been pulling people into a deceptive web, and don't do that. If I've offended you, I sincerely apologise. I am truly ashamed of that. Do the whole shame thing, not about who he is, but about his behaviour. Big difference.
Will he still be marketable after that?
Depends if he's the first AFL player to come out, because whoever the first Australian rules footballer to come out is eminently marketable in terms of selling a book, in terms of probably being protected by the organisation and put into a job as a diversity officer, etc., etc. This hypothetical is more complex if he's the 17th AFL player to come out, because that then makes the engagement to the woman look even worse, because he then seeks solace in other role models and saying, if only I'd turn to coming out player number two and coming out player number seven. And if he even has a fellow gay player in the club and he's still done this, he just looks like...
ignorant.
Actually, yeah. And wanting...
bigoted.
wanting it all, wanting the penny, the bun, and more.
Okay. Now, let's, for argument's sake, what if he was in the NRL? And we should also pause here to explain to our overseas listeners that the NRL is the National Rugby League. The AFL is popular in Victoria, Tasmania, South Australia, and Western Australia. The NRL is popular in New South Wales and Queensland and the ACT.
Yeah, it's rugby league. Look, there has been one out gay player who came out a decade or so ago. Not a single one has come out since. I actually think it's almost like we've reset and are at zero for the NRL, because that player, Ian Roberts, came out towards the end of his career. And what we're going to see now in the generational change, undoubtedly, my belief for the AFL is it'll either be someone who's just retired from the game or someone who's 20 or 21, for whom it is not such an issue. The trouble is, you might go into the sport at 18, 17, 18, with it not much of an issue for you, and then you're going to have image managers tell you that it's not good.
Now, that's what we're saying. If he is an NRL player, if Mr. Two, let's further complicate matters. Mr. Two, the NRL version. Mr. Two, the NRL version, was somewhat tacitly out in New Zealand. He was somewhat tacitly out in New Zealand.
See, that sort of part-time outness.
He was out amongst the play in the club, but then he gets drafted. Gets drafted, and he said, "Oh no! I want to play for and there is one New Zealand team, the Warriors." But he gets drafted by a team in Australia.
You can't go back. Well, some have tried to, but really, what's the point? Because if you have been out to a degree, sooner or later,
not impressed, but at least in the club.
I think one follows the other. You see, it might well be that the New Zealand press chose not to report it because it's a smaller country, and everyone knows each other. And I note the day we're recording this podcast, an MP in New Zealand has resigned. He's gay. It was never mentioned in the article because that's the kind of country New Zealand is. Whereas, who is Fred Nurk? Well, one of the things that might make him interesting, even, dare I say it, marketable for an Australian club, is that he is not heterosexual.
Really?
Neighbor.
So we say all of those, so we see all those. So any little clip from Mr. Two, the NRL version, would actually be possibly a bonus here. It might actually open up rugby in further states.
Well, yeah. Look, he comes to the table very differently because he's sort of saying, yeah, well, that's where I was in New Zealand. I've come across the ditch. Your point?
Yeah.
It's all complicated, Doug. You see, in this scenario, AFL number two is his engagement. What complicates it? What happens if a 24-year-old player comes over Tasman, and he's been living with someone for 3 years.
Yeah.
Which segues nicely into number three.
Number three. Now, Mr. Three, he's a local soap opera actor. By local, I actually mean national in the sense that he's an Australian-based soap opera actor.
And he's seen also on cable networks in Poland, perhaps Sweden occasionally.
Now, he's been willing to say, oh, I haven't found the right person I'm in love with. And, you know, he's not really said who he's with. But no, here's what happened. Mr. Three has found a very strong relationship with someone who is openly gay in their private life. They aren't in media, but they're in business. You know, they've sort of said that. And now he's actually at the point where he's doing the rite of passage of many an Australian actor. He's going overseas. Now, he's questioning whether he should go to the U.S. or the U.K. Now, his partner, who's out in the business career, has supposedly said that he's really ready to support him and just go wherever need be, make it an international relationship, blah, 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 blah. However, the partner is out. This might decrease his ability to be open in certain markets, or it might actually increase his ability. Should Mr. Three be out, and where should he go to?
First conversation he should have is not with you or me at Freeman Bell Enterprises Proprietary Limited. It should be with his partner.
Yeah.
Because without an agreement, you're nothing. And
partner says, let's go international.
Whatever the cost?
Yeah, whatever the cost. We'll make it work.
Well,
but he is out. Mr. Three is not publicly known as a gay man.
Mr. Three husband has to accept he needs to be walked through more than actually Mr. Three what's coming up, because he is going to be airbrushed out of history more than Leon Trotsky.
Depending on which country he goes to? Should Mr. Three just go say, hey, I'm here, I've got this partner, if he goes to the UK? If he goes to the UK, let's argue the UK first.
It might not. It might well be that he doesn't want to be airbrushed out and have his partner associated with various fictitious girlfriends. Or he doesn't want to be airbrushed out because he doesn't want to be involved in the whole flim-flammery of it all. That's why the crucial conversation is around the dinner table before either of them walk through our very capacious offices, both in Toorak and Darlinghurst. And if they're not both on board and they're not both walked through it, they're in trouble because, as our client, Mr. Three is going to be no good if 3 months into it, Mr. Three's husband hasn't been walked through the various scenarios.
So,
because don't forget, he's going to know this person or be with this person in a very different set of circumstances to this country, because all Mr. Three is in the UK or the United States or Canada or wherever is initially one-dimensional. He's got no backstory. He's got no roots, no nothing. And it's a huge amount of pressure to put on a relationship. And I don't know. I mean, is our company, you know, are we pink through and through? I mean, do we have a soul, or are we just there to maximize the 10% that we earn? That's another question for us, isn't
it? Well, yes, it's a question for us. So let's say we have Mr. 3A and Mr. 3B. Mr. 3A says, okay, actually, I want to go to the UK. They've just, you know, it looks like marriage is going to pass there. I say, I come in here and I we can say, well, the partner's really excited by this. He says, oh, you know, we'll have a British wedding. Will that actually increase his marketability for Mr. 3A?
I think with every passing day, it will be of less and less import, which emphasizes with every passing day how things in this country are not changing. And it's amazing how things have changed in a country which I know better as well probably as this country is, it's where I'm from. It's astonishing how, and I don't like using normal, but it is so, yeah, so what, these days, there. And the fact that a prime minister was willing to see half his own party go against him because it was the right thing and because it was on the right side of history. If that's to be done, I mean, it's marketing heaven. You've got a wedding. You've got a front page of Hello. What more do you want? This bloke, Fred Nurk, the other Fred Nurk, never been heard of in the UK. He's got some part in EastEnders or Emmerdale or Holby City. All of a sudden, he's up there. Very marketable.
Now, Mr. 3B, I'm going to attack. I'm going to take on Mr. 3B. Now, Mr. 3B says, nah, I'm going to do the LA thing. Okay, well, Mr. 3B, this is my advice. Well, I think if you go the US route, I really think you need to make sure and make certain that you go to New York first. I stress this so much more because if you go to New York and you do your theatrical get your theatrical credibility up there, that will be seen. You'll be seen as a New York personality. And if you're seen as a New York personality, it is so much more accepting. The partner will be up there. You will be able, and it will not be even addressed. You'll even possibly be considered, maybe not Grand Marshal, but you'll probably get a significant feature in the Pride Parade if you so choose.
Not
or
on
not.
The front page of Entertainment Weekly, though, are you?
No, but you will be on. You will probably be on the cover of New York magazine.
Yeah,
it's a different,
and it's 300 million people stacked up against 60 million people, and 10% of blah blah. Do the math.
Yeah.
Now, if you niche, you can make a good living. Niche is harder the smaller
you
country.
Do the cable route. You go to HBO. You go to Showtime. You make sure you get your little part that's going up there, and you can be really, really successful. Now, if you are still, for whatever bizarre reason, despite our sage advice here, Mr. 3B, you still want to go to Los Angeles. I don't know why, but if you are insistent on Los Angeles, I really, really, really strongly suggest you have that discussion with your partner, because despite the fact that it is open for the most part and it's tolerant, but the thing is that show business is international. So when you go towards that, you are thinking about how are you going to play in the UAE? How are you going to play in the Middle East? How are you going to play in India? How are you going to play in Singapore? How are you going to play in China? Are you ready to be the arbiter of all these discussions worldwide? And furthermore, is a company willing to take that punt?
I think the company will judiciously edit press releases and will answer direct questions if asked. Don't forget, media conspiracies come in various shapes and sizes. One of
the great media conspiracies
is not to ask a question for which you know the answer to. What would it bring a reporter on a Dubai newspaper? Why bother asking the gay question unless it was really something that you desired to do? Because probably the newspaper's owned by the brother of someone who owns the television station that's showing the show.
And why did they bring the show over in the first place?
And, you know, everything. We live in a society. We all cut, paste, and edit. And we have this phenomenon now, I mean, of people who have been sort of out, sort of partnered for over 10 years. And when it eventually becomes an item in a newspaper, it's anticlimactic to the point of they almost appear like sexless people. And that plays into it as well. Look, as long as they're aware of the potential trips along the way, and more importantly, he said somewhat teary-eyed, that they actually like each other and love each other. That's going to work for them.
So, in closing, do we have a role? And this time we'll step out briefly out of our roles. Is there a role for openly gay celebrities?
Yes, but I would ask the question, what is the role of celebrity? For another time.
Thank you.
The scenarios portrayed or discussed in this podcast were entirely fictional. Repeat, entirely fictional.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.